Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I ran a lot when I was in high school and college, like marathon a lot, like 3 marathons. So there are times when I would run twice a day. I'd get up early and I would run in the morning, and then I would go for another run in the evening. So many of those miles I ran in the dark. But even as dark as it was when I was running, it was nowhere near as dark then as it was for Mary when she went to the tomb. I suppose she might have had a candle or a torch with her when she went early in the dark on that first morning, but I know that she certainly didn't have a smartphone with a flashlight app. In the first century, when it was dark, it was very dark. But that didn't stop Mary from making her way to the tomb. Now, Mary is the only person who is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels as having gone to the tomb that morning. And in John's Gospel, which we've read from, this is the only Gospel where she's the only one who went. And in John's Gospel, she doesn't bring aromatics with her to prepare the body. Mary seems to be going to the tomb to grieve her loss. And it was apparently, when she got to the tomb, apparently it was light enough that she could see that stone had been rolled away. And we know that Mary didn't enter the tomb when she went there. There's no recording of her having looked into the tomb. Instead, when she saw the stone rolled away, Mary ran in the darkness to tell Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved what she thought she knew. And what she thought she knew was that somebody had taken Jesus' body. Now, it's interesting to note in John's Gospel how John uses lightness and darkness, or light and dark. And he uses them to represent or juxtapose faith and disbelief or doubt, and also understanding and confusion. And we first see the use of light in John's Gospel back at the beginning of his Gospel, which we read from at Christmas as we were celebrating the birth of Christ, the birth of Jesus. We read for the first time about light and dark, and now here we are on Easter as we're celebrating the rebirth or the resurrection of Jesus. We are thinking about light and dark again. Now, John's book begins with this famous prologue. Maybe it is familiar to you. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And that reminds us of the creation account in Genesis. And how does that account begin? But there was a dark void before God spoke light into being. There was darkness and there was light on that first day of creation. Now, likewise, in verse 5 of John's prologue, we read that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. And then we read about this man, John, who was sent, who came to testify to the light. For the true light was, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Now we know, we're enlightened, right? Are we enlightened? Well, we're trying to become enlightened. We know that the light was the Word made flesh, God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And it was he, who was betrayed and denied and arrested and crucified. It was him who was laid in a tomb, and 3 days later, a woman named Mary came to that tomb in the dark. And the light was not there. Mary did not know where they had taken her Lord. She did not understand what had happened. She remained in the dark. Well, even though she didn't understand, or perhaps because she didn't understand, Mary ran into the darkness, through the darkness, to tell Peter and the other disciple what she had seen, or what she hadn't seen. And in response, they too went for a run in the darkness. They raced each other to the tomb, and that other disciple, you know, the one that Jesus loved, I suspect he loved all of them. But that other disciple arrived there first, and he bent down and he looked in the tomb because the openings for the tomb were probably bigger than the rock that Mr. Justin gave the kids, but they were probably only 3 feet in circumference. So he bent down and he looked into the tomb and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. But when Simon Peter finally got there, and we don't know how far behind he was, the only thing that matters is he lost. But he was the first one to go into the tomb, and he saw those linens lying there and also the cloth that had been on Jesus' head. The other disciple joined him, and we read that then that disciple believed. We don't know what he believed. Did he believe that Jesus had been taken, as Mary had told them? Did he believe that Jesus had been resurrected? The text isn't clear at this point. Apparently, the light of understanding was not yet shining into the tomb, so the disciples returned to their homes, not yet understanding what the scriptures had said about him rising from the dead. But Mary stayed. She remained at the tomb, and she wept. She did what she probably had come to the tomb to do in the first place. She cried, and now she finally looked inside the tomb. And when she did, she saw the light of two angels sitting where the body of Jesus had been. And yet she still didn't understand what had happened and what was happening. So she told the angels, and then Jesus, who she thought was a gardener, that they had taken away her Lord, and she didn't know where they had laid him. But if only they would tell her, she would take him. When Jesus called her by name, the darkness begins to fade. And she turned and she called him Rabboni, teacher. As the night turned to day, as the darkness was overcome by the light, Mary saw the resurrected Jesus and she understood. She must have reached out to touch him, to hold him, to caress him, to hug him. He said, "Do not touch me now, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Now is not the time for these embraces. But instead, go." And in that instance, Mary Magdalene became the first witness, the first to announce, the first to proclaim to the disciples and the world that she had seen the light. She had seen her risen Lord. At sunrise on that first day of the week, Mary announced that the Son of God had been raised from the dead. The light of the sunrise shone into the darkness of the night, and with it came a new day, a new beginning that changed everything. It changed everything for Mary. It changed everything for the disciples, for the Jewish authorities who had shouted, "Crucify him." It changed everything for the disciple whom Jesus loved, for Jesus' mother, Mary. It changed everything for Thomas, who just wanted to touch the wounds in his side. It changed everything for Peter, who denied him 3 times before the rooster crowed. It changed everything for them, and it has changed everything for us, for all of God's creation, because the light has shone into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, and the light is continuing to shine, even when, or especially when, we find ourselves in overwhelmingly dark and difficult times. For you see, the Son of Man was raised from the dead at a time when the people, the land, were under Roman occupation, under persecution. Sure, there was peace in the land. We read about that. But that's only if you understand peace as being a lack of war. The people were still under Roman rule, whether they wanted to be or not. There was corruption in the local government and even within the leadership of the church. It was not a great time in human history, at least not for everybody. And yet the Son of God came and was crucified and rose from the dead, shining light into the darkness. Unfortunately, the world isn't much different today than it was when Jesus came. As we all know all too well, there are still wars happening. There is still corruption among our civic and church leaders. Far too many people go to bed hungry or experience violence in their homes if they have a home at all. Where is Christ today? He is here. He is here. You see, we are Christ. Those who have gathered to worship the risen Christ, those who have said, Christ is risen, and sung hallelujah, we are Christ. And we have become the ambassadors of Christ's love and that light. For you see, we are called to be light to the world. For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness will not overcome it. So let your light shine. Let it shine into a world that so desperately needs to see and experience God's redemptive, life-giving love. Let it shine so that no one would need to run or walk in the dark again. Let it shine. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.